This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and to get 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter code ANDROID at checkout. A better web starts with your website. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number, 209, right? For Halloween.
Ooh.
October 31st, Ooh. 2014. I am Jerry Hildenbrand. No, I'm not. I should have dressed like Jerry or something.
That's easy to do. Just wrinkle your shirt up a little bit.
I'm not, like, big on doing the weird Halloween podcast. So mostly because I went back and found it today. There's a pre-Central podcast that Dieter and Derek and Keith Newman did years ago. I forget what the date was. I had to find it. Where is it? There it is. I posted it in our chat earlier. And it just freaked me out. Like, it was so bizarre.
a lot of those old pre-Central podcasts will freak you out.
That's true, too. October 29th, 2009. So that was like a month before I came on full-time doing this job. And it was a weird one. So I'm like, nope, not doing it. So how goes it? If it's your first time, hi, I'm Phil. I do this thing. We got Jerry in West Virginia.
Hi, I'm Jerry. He's Phil.
And we have Alex Martinick in Seattle.
What?
Alex Martinick, Andrew Martinick. Damn. It's been a long week.
Phil, meet Alex.
It's been a long week. I've been on the road. And oh, hey, by the way, that's me back there. Is that working?
It's buffering.
Product showcase.
So I guess you could say it's working. I don't know.
I'll turn it off in a second, probably. So we'll talk about that in a second. So, yeah, it's Halloween. My kids are all sugared up.
You know what else it is?
What is it?
The one-year birthday of the Nexus 5.
Ooh, that's true.
That's right.
I have one somewhere else in my bag.
You go eat some Kit Kats.
For Halloween, give out Kit Kats and Nexus 5s. Kids, trick-or-treat at Phil's house, and he will drop a Nexus 5 in your bag.
I only have one Nexus 5, believe it or not, and this is it.
What?
Yeah. I think when it came out, I had like six at one point. It was a little because it wasn't cheap, but it was relatively affordable, and I think we gave some out. And
because of the Nexus 4 ordering fiasco, we were all afraid, and I think like four people ordered Nexus 5s for you.
Yeah.
Make sure you'd have a couple.
Yeah, I think we collectively bought about 10 on the first day, so that was good.
It was crazy. So, yeah, I mean, we can. You want to start Nexus or you want to start Droid Turbo? I was in New York on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday for a bunch of stuff. Let's start Droid Turbo. Andrew has it right now.
Because it's red and flashy and nice.
Hold it up again so people can see it.
And you know what? The Nexus 6 is not red and Kevlar and fancy. So
I went to the Droid Turbo event in New York on, what day was that? Tuesday, Mark Wim and I went. I like the hell out of this phone, guys. I mean, it's big. It's heavy. It's funny. I mean, Andrew, the word I would use for it is dense.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, dense, I mean, heavy is...
Hold it up again.
That's not quite the thing because, you know, size-wise... It's a lot smaller than other phones, but it has a huge battery in it, and batteries are heavy. So, you know, it kind of bulges out at the sides a little bit. And I don't know how much time you spent with the Droid Max last year. I know I did.
Not a lot.
The reviews of the Droids, but you know, it's very similar to that. But it doesn't feel as huge as that. I mean, the Droid Max last year literally felt like they took a Moto X and just tripled the battery, and that was the entire, you know, thickness of the device. This feels like they engineered it a little bit better, actually worked the battery into the design, but it's still, it feels a lot heavier than it should be. It feels like it's 50% heavier than it should be based on its size.
But it still feels really good. Like, it's a curvy phone.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say
yeah, it's well managed.
I'll say
it's not... Well, it's a little more angular than last year, actually, with the little angles on the sides and the, you know, the little chin or whatever you want to call it on the bottom. But you're right, it does They distributed the weight well. It's rounded in the back, and it has a less annoying dimple on the back than the Moto X. And it's, you know, it manages the weight, you know, and you get a battery for putting up with that.
How are you doing on the camera there? It's a 21 megapixel camera, right? Or am I getting
it's 21 megapixel, and it's it kicks out like over 6 megabyte images, which is pretty huge and crazy when you're trying to just upload them to Twitter or something. But I don't know. It still takes the very Motorola style pictures. I mean, they look very similar to what the Droids did last year and the Moto X last year and this year did. It can do really nice things in daylight with HDR, and it doesn't go overboard like some phones, and kind of in maybe sunset level light, it does okay, but still the low light pictures just aren't up to par, even with 21 megapixels, which is kind of annoying.
That's kind of, even in the very short time that I played with it before I sent it over to you, that's kind of exactly how I felt about it. Like the daylight, the view I took in daylight, there's the one I shot looking northeast from Soho, looked really, really good, but you get in the dark a little bit and it's like, oh, there we go.
Yeah, again. But and there's still, you know, the HDR capture speed, you know, I leave it on HDR auto because I think it kind of decides properly when to use HDR, but the capture speed is still a little slow. I mean, the Galaxy S5 and the Note 4 capture HDR just as fast as auto shots. And this, there's still that, you know, you can tell when it's shot in auto or HDR because it pauses for a bit. And that's still a little annoying.
Software was very much Moto X-y, just with Verizon stuff on it and this Droid Zap stuff, which, you know, whatever.
It's Droid Zap's just a branding now for Wi-Fi Direct and Chromecast for them, so.
Yeah.
But it's
cool phone.
It's a very nice device, and it's really pushing for me the limits of size, because you still have to reach all the way down to the bottom for the capacitive keys, which is a little, you know, you don't think about it from an ergonomic standpoint, but, you know, that's your thumb has to reach farther down on the phone when you're kind of trying to reach up to the top of the phone all the time for the notifications and things like that. So it gives you a little more screen to work with because the keys are always gone, but then it also, you know, makes you reach that much further down to the bottom. But, you know, at least there's no physical home button or a menu key or anything lame. Like.
Jerry, did you just see what I showed you there in the background?
I didn't have you clicked. I saw you holding it up so I could see it, but I couldn't make it out.
Oh, okay. I'll see if I can do it again. Andrew, what do you think about the finish of this thing?
You mean the shiny versus the ballistic Kevlar one?
Yeah, so you've got the metallized glass there. I got to see the ballistic Kevlar.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that one.
It is, oh my God. All right, so the one you have is pretty smooth. I'd almost say it's slippery. The ballistic nylon is, they liken it to like a backpack or luggage, which actually is very much like my luggage. In fact, I use Timbuktu, and I think they've got a, I think it is ballistic nylon on the edges of this thing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Jerry, that's what that was. And it's got just such a cool feel to it, and especially for phones that big, and I have small hands, so I'd like having a little grip on them. Really, really nice. I like that ballistic nylon a lot.
I haven't found the what is it, metallized glass, they call it. I haven't found it to be too slick. There's still a little bit of grip on it, but on the corners where it's really built up and there's none of that Kevlar stuff underneath, it is kind of a little on the slippery side. It's not nearly as slick as like the M8 or anything like that.
Aren't we supposed to hate it because the bottom bezel's so freaking big? With those buttons? If it said HTC on the back, the internet would absolutely hate it.
Yep. Why is it so big on the bottom? That phone sucks.
On principle, I should be against the capacitive buttons.
I mean, the bezel, including like the red part at the bottom, is about the same size as the Nexus 5. I don't know.
Hold it up so we can see it.
I had to make sure I was correct first before holding
that. See, that's an awful lot of chin down there. It looks like my G1 with all that chin.
But, No, I agree. I don't like the capacitive keys, but, geez, I think people are blowing it out of proportion. It didn't take a learning curve for me to switch from using going from the Nexus 5 to the Droid Turbo, the buttons are in the same spot, and they're just a little farther down there.
The only thing I don't like about capacitive keys is when somebody thinks up something really, really cool to do with software buttons, whether it be Google or somebody else, you don't get to do it.
Well, you know who just did was Google with Lollipop, because it's going to be a little circle, except for the Droid Turbo's not.
Well, and you already get a little... it reminds you how confusing it was when the on-screen buttons didn't change, the back button didn't change to a keyboard hide button. And that's kind of one of those things where it's just not as good of a user experience when you have the keyboard up and it's not immediately apparent how to hide the keyboard. With on-screen buttons, it changes into that down arrow and kind of gives you that visual hint, which is kind of nice. But I don't have a problem with it as much other than... capacitive keys are a little easier to accidentally hit when you're reaching your palm hits the back button, or when you swipe down the notification bar and continue your swipe onto the bezel and you hit the home button and the notification bar goes flying back up. You know, those are things that don't happen when the keys are on the screen.
I don't want to spoil anything, and I know we really haven't had any real time with the Nexus 6, but so far, best phone on Verizon?
I mean, we're going to talk...
Based on what Phil's saying about the Nexus 6, which we'll get into later.
We're going to talk a lot about best phones in the Moto X, I think.
Last year, I'm pretty sure that, you know, the Droid Max was the best phone on Verizon, period.
Right, and I said as much when I reviewed the Ultra and the Max last year was, don't buy the Ultra, you know, if you're going to choose between the X and the Ultra at that price point. But if anything, just buy the Max. It's everything that the Moto X is or was at that time, with a huge honking battery and no real design downsides. You know, you can't buy a wood one, but that's okay.
And for the people worrying about updates, yeah, you didn't get it instantly like you did with the Moto X, but you didn't have all that lead time that you would from a Note or a Galaxy or an HTC One. You still got it really fast.
And in this case, you're getting a higher resolution screen, higher resolution camera, and a huge battery. And, you know, you don't have to get this crazy bright red one. You can get, get it in black. And or you can get the more grippy material. And you can get 64 gigs of storage if you want.
And it comes with the Motorola turbocharger, which I forget how much it is normally. Like 40
and a one. One-time screen replacement if you get all klutzy and busted.
Hey, you want a fun little test? I just plugged in my Moto X behind me with the turbocharger, so we will see. It was at 10% when I plugged it in. Actually, it dropped down to 9 right as I plugged it in, so we'll see where it's at in a few minutes. That'll be a fun little test.
Yeah, I mean, the Droid turbocharger, I didn't even think about that. The Droid Turbo having the turbocharger in it is a huge deal. I think it's $25 or $30 separately. But, you know, you're not... This battery is so ridiculous, you're not going to need to give your battery a quick boost before you go out for the evening or something, because you're going to have like 50% battery left. But
so, yeah, let's go back to the whole Nexus versus Droid X thing, or, you know, Droid whatever, Moto X, Moto Droid X, pick one.
Remember the Droid X.
So the other thing I did Wednesday was that.
Nice.
Bought a surfboard.
No, that's the 6. Google had like a Lollipop open house, so we got to go play with all the stuff again and bring home treats. I will say, normally we don't talk about... Did I lose you? There I am.
There you are. You're back.
There you are.
I was freezing. Weird. Normally, we don't talk about embargoes and stuff here, but I will say, for the sake of transparency, there's a reason why we haven't been writing our butts off, at least publicly, about this stuff right now. So chill. Everything in due time. And that's really all I can say about that. But I can, I think, with honoring the spirit of the embargo, talk a little bit. It's a big phone, guys. it's a really big phone.
It's surprising how it dwarfs the Note 4, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of talking about this with Alex and I not having used the Nexus 6, but have, you know, holding the Note 4, and we were like, you know, this is bigger in every dimension. You know, it's thicker, wider, and taller.
I mean, here it is with the G3. That's the Nexus 6 and the G3.
It's going to eat that thing.
I picked up the G3 again yesterday because it got that update. And it felt small. Like, the G3 has never felt small to me, and it felt small yesterday. It was the weirdest thing. But, I mean, here's my question, and it's one I asked in the abstract weeks ago, but I'm asking it even more now, is what is this giant stock Android phone going to bring to the table that the Moto X doesn't almost bring?
Other than just being a giant
phone. It is the table. You just
it is the table. Yeah, no, and that's the big question, right? Is that size going to be worth it? Are you going to get something else along with that gigantic size that you won't get in the Moto X or even the Droid Turbo?
Do you have last year's Moto X sitting in front of you?
I do, actually.
Hold those up side by side to give people an idea.
And tell me what you can do with the Nexus 6's screen size.
You have no idea how messy my desk is right now. So that's...
Go look at that, guys.
That's 2013 and the Nexus 6. It is a big, big phone. So, I mean, go back to, like, the Galaxy Note days, and I remember I used to have to tell myself as we were reviewing these, all right, I'm going to get over the size. I'm not going to get hung up on the size. It's big, whatever. Let's get over that. And I'm trying to do that again, but this is a big phone. There's just no way around it.
Well, now, that's a good thing to a lot of people. That's what we need to remember. We're ragging on it and making jokes, but I know a lot of people out there are all pepped and excited because it's so big. So cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't get it. I mean, it's the 20-30% of the time at most you're, you know, watching videos or, you know, looking at web pages or something on your phone. Sure, that benefits from the big screen, but then the other 70-80% of the time when you're really just trying to do messaging, you're trying to keep up with things, and you only have one hand available, then it's a completely detrimental, and you can't use the 6-inch phone in one hand.
I made myself sit down and use the Z Ultra for a week last winter while we were snowed in. I wrote something about that. Big phones aren't that bad. But one thing I found after I got used to holding it, typing. Mm-hmm. If you hold it with two hands and use your thumbs to type, big phones are beautiful to type on.
Well, I saw a lot of people swiping to type on the Google keyboard. And I used the Google keyboard for a while. I love the way it looks. The prediction just isn't there for me. And I'm not sure if that's just because I'm used to SwiftKey and I'm used to the way it works, or if the prediction just really isn't quite as good, or if it's because the prediction, you know, SwiftKey is that far ahead because it's what I use and it knows what I want to type. You know, maybe that's it. But I think the keyboard looks great. Jerry and Alex and Andrew have been making fun of me because I'm finally using Lollipop because I was busy doing other stuff while they were playing with it for the past couple of weeks. The animations I love. Animations are great. There's still some buggy stuff here and there. I have a feeling what we have now isn't quite a final build. It would not surprise me to see an update. I'm hoping we don't like see any big changes. But yeah, I mean, Lollipop is really good, but it's kind of the same question we have every year, Jerry. Like, okay, that's awesome. It's Nexus Lollipop, but what's everybody else going to do to it?
Well, they're going to make it their own. I mean, that's a good way to say it. I don't want to say they're going to butcher it. They are going to butcher it, but maybe not in a bad way. Samsung phones are very polarizing for the UI, but you have to remember, for every person that doesn't like it, there are people who just love what Samsung's doing.
Tens of millions.
Yep. So
I'm real curious to see what Motorola does, especially because I think we talked about it last week. I love my do not disturb modes now. I love being able to go to bed and not have things beeping and blooping. And so I'm kind of questioning the way Lollipop does it with the none priority all thing. And it almost feels like an engineering solution to what should be a pretty simple problem. And I think Motorola did a good job with it. I want you to be quiet except for these hours. And if I'm awake, just pull down and say, hey, I'm awake. And it doesn't shut the whole thing off. It doesn't do anything weird.
I get the feeling from Google that you're right. The engineers said, okay, this is how we can do this. Now it's going to take somebody who's better at user design and interface to fix it. You know, the groundwork is there. This is how you can shut certain notifications off at certain times. And somebody just needs to go in and design a nice, simple way to set it the way you need it to be set, rather than how it is now, which is a cluster beep.
So it's not just me.
No.
I'm trying to think what else about Lollipop I really like. And there's some... Let me just say this. I don't think you've seen it all yet. I'll leave it at that. there's a lot of really good stuff out there. And you've seen some of the Google apps being updated so far. There's still more to see. I'll leave it at that. So there's a lot I'm really happy with. And never mind, it's not even about the Nexus 6 for me in Lollipop. It's not even about Lollipop the OS necessarily, but it's just the entire direction that Google's going with all this and how it's bringing its web properties together with the mobile stuff, and it just looks and feels so nice.
See, that tears me apart, because the side of me that spends money and buys a phone loves what Google's doing.
Mm-hmm.
The side of me who wants to sit down in the middle of the night and mess with some code and play around and dink around hates what Google's doing.
I'll give you another little teaser just for the spirit of embargoes, but that little thing behind me.
Oh, you got a Fire TV.
That's not a Fire TV. Again, I'm having a lot of fun there. I'm liking a lot of what I see, and we will have more on that later. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on, and there's also that big thing.
That's the Nexus 6, right?
Yes, this is the Nexus 6. No. 9, 6. Which way? That way.
Every time you... I want to ask Google, why blue instead of black? I'm not
the phone
looks bad, yeah. I'm not
how close
bad,
is the color of
it really,
the 6 and 9?
It does not look blue to me at all. They both look black, guys.
I just... blue is my least favorite color, so...
The metal maybe has a slight, like, blue tint to it on the Nexus 6, but it's more gray than blue, I think.
They called it Midnight Blue.
Yeah, it's... I look at it like it's black. So. Yeah, I mean, the tablet... again, I'm not going to go too deep in it yet, but 4.3 takes a little getting used to. I think there are a lot of apps that need to be reworked, including ours. I will say that up front, because 4.3 is a different aspect ratio, and things you can get away with in 16:9, even at, you know, that 7-inch display, isn't necessarily something you can get away with in 4.3. It's a big change, so it's going to be interesting to see how app developers handle that. And it's been interesting to see how some of Google's apps have handled it so far, and how some of them haven't, actually. There's some Google apps, I think, that still need to be.
How have you found it as far as, you know, I know you use your Nexus 7 a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you found it easy to just pick up and, you know, you carry it around?
It's definitely bigger. It's a much bigger feeling. I need to get one of the covers. And were those ever on sale?
I don't think
that. I think that they went up on Amazon as, you know, they're here, but I think you could order the $100 and whatever keyboard cover, but...
We would love to hold your money while you wait for us to ship this cover.
Yeah.
I think the listings went up on the Play Store, too. But
yeah, they did, and I know you can't buy them there. The like Magic, they call them Magic Covers, not Smart Covers. the weird origami folding is kind of a pain. We got to play with that at the event the other day. And I guess you'll get used to it as you figure it out. I love the way they snap on with the, you know, just magnets on the front. That's really cool.
That's one thing I've loved about the Shield tablet. Man, having magnets hold it on is so, so great.
But, yeah, the folding is weird, but I've got to get a cover. I don't want to throw a tablet that big in my bag and just have it sitting there. So I highly recommend, you know, getting a cover for it, if not the keyboard. What else about the tablet? Yeah, it's big, it's thin, the speakers are nice. It's a good tablet experience, I think we can easily say it's probably the best Nexus tablet so far.
Hmm.
I have no problem, I think, making that call right now. As much as I love the Nexus 7, I still love the size of the Nexus 7.
Nexus 10 for life.
Even as a value proposition with a $230 Nexus 7 versus a $400 Nexus 9?
See, and it's a lot of money. I get that. I mean, they're not going to keep making the Nexus 7, though, so this is going to be what it is.
We say it's a lot of money. What's an equivalent iPad mini Retina cost?
Same thing, I think.
So, I mean, Unlike the phone where you're actually saving a little bit of money versus an Apple product, here it's no more expensive. That's what we have to get our head around. Who is Google competing with before we say their products are overpriced?
iPad Mini 3 starts at $400. iPad Air 2 starts at $500.
So while it's more expensive than last year's smaller model that they're no longer making, it's not more expensive than an equivalent product on the market. That's what we need to think about, I think.
Yeah, and the question I want to ask is this going to be able to be a laptop replacement? In fact, my grandmother's 88 years old, and I was standing with her at my kid's soccer game last night, and she says, you know, my Windows computer is old, it's dying, should I just get an iPad? Because
yes.
She's not doing hardcore stuff anyway. And that's why I told her. I said yes. She's using an iPhone now too. So the question is, can this tablet, you know, kind of fill that same replacement? Are the apps there yet? I don't know.
And that's the thing, because the keyboard looks like a great solution,
mm-hmm.
but it takes more than hardware to replace a laptop.
Exactly. Right? And I think we're going to see Google have some solutions for that probably, but the question is, what about everybody else?
Yep.
I am seeing some resolution issues a little bit. I know I mentioned I play a lot of Skyforce. And,
you don't say.
Yes, and it was a little jacked up on the Shield tablet, and I'm seeing those same problems here on this.
So, Shield tablet's 1610, right?
Yeah, so I guess that's just a coding thing on that part. But again, I mean, we're going to see weird little things like that. I've seen some other just buggy stuff. On apps, so I think there's going to be a little bit of growing pains here.
But these things get out into people's hands for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm real curious to see what everybody else thinks. I like it. I like the smaller size, but I think I can live with this big one. Again, we will have much more coming on this later. What did you say on all this? I guess we can. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we will do some Q&A on it. Hey folks, it's Phil here. I know what you're thinking. However did I get so good at making websites? There's all that code and all those features. Well, the truth is I'm actually pretty terrible at it. I can't code HTML any more than I can decode the Matrix. It's just not going to happen. And that's why I'm plenty happy to talk about Squarespace. It's what I use for my own personal website, and just like their tagline says, it really is an all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. So how easy is it? Well, after just a couple hours and a couple beverages, I had my own domain, my own site, and my own Google Apps account all connected, up and running, and ready for my wife and I to use and you guys to read. Squarespace made it so simple. It's just drag and drop to get all the features you want, whether it's photo galleries or blogs, even your own store. You automatically get responsive design so your site looks great on desktop browsers or on phones, and you should see it on the Nexus 6, by the way, or on tablets. And the Squarespace 7 interface launched in early October, and I really can't stress how much more beautiful and easy it made to make a website. If you need help, you can get live support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plans start at just $8 a month, and you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. For a free trial and to get 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter code ANDROID at checkout. Squarespace, a better web starts with your website. I can't believe Jerry went that whole time and didn't say a word.
See, you'll yell at me if I say anything. And then you do things to try to entice me to say things. You're an evil, evil man.
Yes, I am. All right, so let's dive into the Q&A. Again, there's going to be some stuff that I probably won't answer. I might let Jerry try to answer some of it, maybe.
Your tap dancing shoes on.
I'm pretty good at that. I'm sure you can probably find the answer out there, depending on whether people are as afraid of things as I am. Alexander asks, how's the battery life on the Nexus 6 so far? Look, I mean, it's a big battery. How big is the battery? Is it
39.
What was the turbo? I've seen too many numbers this week, and I gave up trying to remember what they were.
Something too.
Yeah.
I think the Note is like 20 or 40 more than the 6. So it's like 3,900 and 3,920.
It's a big battery.
3,230.
I need to get an answer on the banding a little bit, because T-Mobile was kind of feeling weird to me on it. So, again, but, Nexuses have always had kind of wonky radios a little bit, right?
Oh, it's 3200 and 3220.
Okay.
The Turbo that has the Gigantic.
Yeah, Turbo has 39. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on network, just like everywhere else, right? If your network sucks, you can burn through battery like crazy.
As well, and the Nexus has never been known for its strong radios and signal. Right. Either.
As a T-Mobile user for all of the Nexus phones so far, your first version of the radio sucks.
Yeah.
Get used to it. It sucks.
So, again, you know, and that's why I hate seeing battery life tests when it's just... It's one thing, like, on a tablet to watch a movie all the way through and say, here's how the battery is. It's another thing with a phone, because those radios just make such a difference as you're running around. Christopher asked about the Midnight Blue finish. I think we kind of already talked about that. It's pretty black, I still think. Especially depends on the light you're in. Sam asks, I want to love it, but is the Nexus 6 as unwieldy as it looks? Be honest. I think it is. For me, it is. For you, it might not be. And that's the good news about this Nexus round this time, right? Because you can go to the stores and see them. Cherries.
Well, you don't get a chance to see the Nexus 5 beside it.
Right.
To me, that's a problem because Google, I think, is trying to position themselves. Look, we're selling two Nexuses, a size to fit everyone, yet you only get to look at one.
It's tiny, guys. It's really small.
I mean, they haven't really put anything out there or redesigned the Nexus 5 page in the Play Store or anything, but you can go buy them right now directly from Google still, even though the 6 is technically on sale.
And it's the question at that point, I think, is what do you need most? Do you need this updated camera? And I don't have a good feel for the camera yet, so I can't answer that one way or the other. Or do you want this smaller phone that's going to pretty much have the same experience? Or do you want a Moto X, which is going to get the software really fast? It's conceivable. We don't know when, we know Lollipop is coming on November 3rd. Google has said that from the beginning. But, it's conceivable the Moto X could have updates ready to go by the end of next week. Well, I don't know when.
Last year, the Moto X got updated to KitKat before the Nexus 4.
Right.
We could see the Moto X updated to KitKat before the Nexus 5, guys.
So, it could be real close. And at that point, I'm going to be like, you know what? I don't need this bigger phone that I personally am not comfortable with. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. And I have a hard time buying the line of people want a phone that's this big. I get that people want bigger phones. I get that I'm in the minority on that. This thing is big. It's bigger than the 6 Plus.
Well, you've seen it with talking to people that iPhone users that went out and bought the iPhone 6 Plus. They said, wow, this is... I thought that I wanted this, and then I bought it, and I realized that it's huge.
See, I don't get that, because you can see an iPhone in the store. A lot of times people just order them, right?
Just bought it.
Did I mention this on the podcast? I know I wrote something on Google Plus. When I was coming home from Chicago a couple weeks ago, I was sitting next to a woman who... said she got the 6 Plus because she thought it was the one with the 128 gigabytes of storage. And I don't remember all the SKUs, and maybe it is, but she thought the Plus meant it had more storage. She didn't realize just how big it was, and she hates the size. So it is a big, big phone. You want a huge battery? The Droid Turbo, really good option, I think. Really
and it doesn't option. Have to be a huge phone. So
yeah, if you want, Samsung still has really good stuff in the Note 4. So...
So
I don't know.
It's going to save me in a week.
Oh, is your compact coming finally?
Supposedly the 4th.
By the way, I got to see the T-Mobile version of the Z3. And I definitely like it better than the Z3V. The Z, what did I call it? The Z3 Ved.
Z thrice Ved.
If anybody didn't get the title of last week's podcast. It definitely feels better. The edges are rounded. More, it's got T-Mobile software on it, whatever.
Can we say that the Verizon Z3 is not a real Z3?
Yeah,
I've been saying that since day one.
Yeah, I think you absolutely can. So, it was nice. Jonathan wants to know, do you guys know when Google Wallet is expected to be available to international countries and users? No idea.
They can't even get
I wouldn't even expect it. The mess it is, even in the U.S.,
yeah.
Don't hold your breath. I'm sorry. But
now there is the online only component of Google Wallet that's just like PayPal, which could be very useful. But
which is excellent. I still think it's great. I mean, and I was talking to somebody about that this week because as I've been using Uber more, it's like, well, that's how Google Wallet should work.
And the nice thing is that it's really integrated when you purchase things. You know, you can go and look at your order history, get tracking information. That's something where PayPal kind of comes up short, where PayPal is like, okay, you handed off the money, you're back to the merchant, and we'll give you your receipt, and that's it.
Ordered a bunch of this Nexus stuff, and, you know, I've got Inbox installed now. That's really slick. That integration with the big previews and stuff, That's something that consumers would like. They need to get it to more people.
Yeah, it's just it's unfortunate for them that PayPal is still that standard for online purchases and for person-to-person transfers especially.
Yep. Edwin wants to know, will the Nexus 6 be sold in carrier stores? Will it be free of bloatware?
Yes. So here's, stop.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, here's what I can say. If you saw, there were a couple bad stories on this. Ron from Ars Technica did a sit-down with Google at the hands-on they did out in California. And one of the things they talked about a little bit was actually what they do with the Verizon G3. And that is, when you first fire this thing up, and I think that answered my question. I never heard reset them. But when you first fired up that phone, it downloaded two apps from Google Play. And I forget what another one was. It was two, might have been three apps. So they talked about that a little bit. I know some stories came out that, like, this is going to be new in Lollipop. Well, it's not new in Lollipop. It's happening now. But it did that because the first SIM I had in the Nexus 6 was a T-Mobile SIM, and it downloaded the T-Mobile account app. I forget what it's called, My T-Mobile or whatever. Ooh, you know what? I should look because I put in my AT&T SIM because I need to test things out on that. Let me see if it...
But you can turn right around and uninstall that. It's just an app from the Play Store.
Right. I don't see that it did my AT&T, but I bet it does that. T-Mobile My Account, that's what it called. I bet if that's your first SIM card in it, when you activate the phone, I bet it will download that app.
Well, if you've got a Nexus 5 in front of you, pick it up and look at it. Do you see all that horrible Sprint bloatware? Because there are files on your phone that it needs to print. That's what you're going to have.
Exactly. So, no, I think it'll probably be okay.
Now, I've heard there is a chance Verizon's going to have a special SKU because they want to be able to decide which phones can be activated on their CDMA network. That'll throw a wrench into the mix, and that'll make Jerry rant and rave and a lot of other people. And that's not a good thing, but that's different than having Droid Zap and Verizon Messaging and Verizon Music and Navigation and all that other.
I saw Kellen from Droid Life did a post today that he popped in a Verizon SIM and it just worked out of the box. That's good, but I'm just saying it's Verizon, it's Nexus.
Make a phone call before you tell me it works.
Well, yeah. Remember the Nexus 7 LTE situation where it was, look what Verizon's hiding from us. We put a Verizon SIM in and it works. Well, yeah, but you can't actually attach it. You couldn't attach it correctly to your account, and it wouldn't show up as a proper device until they got the update that was, made it compatible. You know, you can argue about what compatible means or what the different SKUs are going to hold, but when it comes down to it, if they want to blacklist IMEIs for everything, every phone that isn't, in their system, then they can do that, and they can turn off, cellular service to that phone if they want.
And if they do that, they're doing that in what they think is their best interest. We can complain and fuss and holler, but they're not doing it so let's screw these guys that listen to the Android Central podcast. This will show them. They're actually, they have reasons. We don't have to like them, but they're there.
Yeah.
Good luck selling that line.
Well, I mean, all I hear is Apple can do it. No, do you know your iPhone 6 has Verizon software on it? If not, your GPS doesn't work.
Right.
That's just how it is.
Bobby says, after a year on an iPhone, jumping ship and coming back to Android, the Nexus 6 is too big for me. Is the Nexus 5 still viable? Will it run Lollipop well? I think it'll run it well.
Yeah.
I think it'll run Lollipop better than KitKat once they sort it out. Give it a couple updates.
Did any of you guys buy a Nexus 6 for yourselves? Asked Sachin. I mean,
We had no option. None of us could actually get an order in. That's one thing.
Well, yeah, then there's that. I mean, I was in cars and planes that day, but I didn't.
But no, I didn't even try. I didn't even try to order one.
I mean, I will be perfectly honest. I don't think I would buy this phone myself if I didn't do this for a living. It's just too big for me.
You know what? I got this.
Yeah, and to put it another way, my Moto X gets here on Monday.
I did try to buy one for, well, I tried to buy three of them for 4 hours. Fail. This is the first year I failed. Every other year I was able to sneak an order in.
So I.
We all got Nexus 5 orders in.
Yep.
But this year was a total fail. I think it was their worst year ever for ordering.
And it was kind of interesting. I mean, we had no... No Googlers, you know, came to Google Plus saying, oh, look, the Nexus 6 is on sale, and there was no fanfare like that because the thing was on sale for like a minute and a half.
Well, the website worked for a minute and a half.
Well, yeah.
The wrong way.
Whether or not it gets, I mean, it doesn't matter if 99% of the system works. If the last 1%, right, you hit buy, doesn't work, it doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure that this is a pre-order deal telling them, okay, this is how many we need to make sure we have built on our first production run. They don't have them sitting in the warehouse somewhere right now, I don't think. But,
well, I mean, we see more.
They have more that they're going to be able to sell than that little on again, off again, 15-second window blinking mess that availability was in the Play Store.
Well, and availability is a bit of that's a bit heavy. I mean, they're not shipping for 3 more weeks. They won't arrive for another 4 weeks. You know, we're talking about the end of November, and we don't even know, you know, we're assuming that you're going to be able to walk into a carrier store in the next couple weeks and buy one before the Play Store models even ship.
Yeah, we don't actually have dates on any of that stuff, and that's important to remember. Christopher asks, do you buy into the conspiracy theories that the Nexus 6 stock was intentionally limited to steer customers toward the carrier versions? No. I think it's going to be limited no matter what.
But, I mean, carrier versions is also, you're making a big assumption there. But.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm down here looking at it next to the OnePlus One. And actually, it's really interesting. It's not much bigger than the OnePlus One.
You got a phone there and something else.
The OnePlus One is kind of busily.
It's kind of what?
Kind of bezel-y.
Yeah, it is.
Things that I don't trust. I wouldn't buy
it. It feels a lot smaller. Well, and then there's Jerry's thing, yeah. So, no, I don't think there's a conspiracy. I think it's a little weird that we don't have, like, hey, here's when it's going to be available and here's when it's not. But
I mean, you can assume that they have very strict supply deals with the carriers. They have to supply them with X number of units in certain number of stores for distribution, and they don't have those kind of, you know, they don't have a contract with themselves to make 100,000 available to Google Play orders.
Yeah.
You know, but they do have a purchase order with Verizon to, you know, ship them a certain number of Nexus 6s.
Didn't LG put a little bit of insight on how that works last year? Didn't they say something about how they had to do special stuff with their T-Mobile contracts? You know, cellular contract, but purchase ordering for the Nexus 5. I'm pretty sure that.
Well, I mean, I know that the Nexus 4 and Nexus 5 were much more readily available from T-Mobile stores if you wanted to pay the additional premium to buy one.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to depend on Motorola, who the past few years has shown that they have trouble making enough phones to meet demand. I don't know if it's going to be the same this year, but you look at the Moto X and all the Droids and this shut up phone. they're not able to meet the demand. So I don't know what to say or think here.
Hey,
go ahead, Phil.
Sorry, speaking of Motorola, the Lenovo deal finally closed.
Lenovo.
Mm-hmm. It's about freaking time.
I don't think that's all the difference.
I don't think it is. I think you're right.
I think Lenovo is going to be smart enough to say, hey, you know what? This company, now they're not making a fortune. They're not selling all the phones. but they found a way to make a turnaround that everybody loves. Let's not mess with it. Let's continue.
They're making really good stuff. It was interesting. I've been slowly reading the Eric Schmidt, Jonathan Rosenberg book. I think it might almost be done. I'm not sure. And they do briefly mention the Motorola thing, and they're like, look, we bought Motorola. They were in and said exactly how we know things work. Motorola was making phones for their customers, only they had it wrong. Their customers were the carriers. It was AT&T and Verizon. They were making the phones that Verizon wanted, that AT&T wanted, whomever. And they finally, you know, Google said, no, you're doing it wrong. You need to make a phone for the users, not the customers, for the people who actually use these phones. And that's what we have now. And I really do hope Lenovo keeps it that way.
Dude, well, you look at the last old-style Droid from Moto X from last year. Mm-hmm. That is the ultimate 180-degree turnaround in performance and things that I love. I know a lot of people feel this. Awkward silence.
I'm not sure if you're losing me or if I'm losing you.
Oh, okay, you guys are here. That's good. I thought that Chrome just crashed.
Or if it's Google. Google's been having some interesting times this week.
Hangout 6 is coming. It's bigger.
Break exclusive.
No, but I think I got what Jerry was saying about Motorola's quick turnaround, well, relatively quick turnaround considering their history. And I think that Lenovo's happy to let them continue to do that. And they realize that they're selling phones of, you know, Lenovo-branded phones in Asia, and they're doing really well. But they know that Lenovo-branded phones aren't going to do well in the West, and they know that Motorola phones have no real connection in Asia. So, you know, they're not competing, you know, directly with themselves. They can let Motorola continue to do its things and work on its momentum, which I could say that they still have momentum.
From a business point, all Lenovo sees is all those Moto Gs in India. Mm-hmm. That's enough reason to buy Motorola right there. Make that happen in China, and people in Lenovo are sitting on this mountain of money that they can ski down.
And Lenovo turned around and continued, you know, the success of the ThinkPad brand pretty sweetly when they picked it up. And, you know, I think the ThinkPad's pretty, you know, much, ThinkPad and IdeaPad, I guess, are both, you know, more successful now than they were before.
Yeah, they mostly kept the quality, lowered the price, and now they're selling twice as many of them.
Mm-hmm. Said it before and we'll say it again, there's a lot of really good stuff out there right now. A whole lot of it. Good question from Alexander. Does Project Volta make a huge difference on a Nexus 5 with the Lollipop preview?
I don't think that's all baked in there yet.
I get, and again, more. Some of that's at the app level, right? Giving apps the ability to schedule tasks so that they happen only when, you know, plugged in, only in the middle of the night, whatever.
Coalescing. Yeah.
And we've got a mix match of Google services. Mm-hmm. Some are updated, some are still the old ones baked and rolled into the Play Services app. You cannot say anything about the battery on the L preview because anything you say is going to be wrong.
Sachin has a good question. How come there's no 64 gigabyte Nexus 9? And Jerry, I heard somebody mention this earlier this week, and I just have no idea what the answer is. Do apps get incrementally larger when, you know, they're compiled for 64-bit?
They do on the computer. It's very, you know, possible that the same thing will happen for Android. I don't know.
I think it's odd just in general not to have the 64 gigs available on a tablet.
Well, isn't 64 and LTE coming later?
I think it's just going to be 32 LTE only.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
And they did 32/64 on the phone.
Right.
Is it possible there's not enough room for another memory module?
Well, yeah, I was going to say it's either room or room in the price.
I'll tell you, the first prototypes were a whole hell of a lot thicker than what we've got now.
This is real thin. I haven't felt a whole lot of thermal out of this yet. I can feel, like, I can tell where the chip is. It's up by the camera. But I haven't, like, it hasn't been uncomfortably hot yet.
Yet.
let's see. Here's a good question from Ryan Saldana. Is it dangerous for Google to replace the stock email app in the Nexus 6 with a redirect to Lollipop Gmail, which now supports Pop IMAP and Exchange?
Dangerous?
Dangerous how?
I mean, if the email... I mean, I don't think they're under any obligation to include an email app that supports Pop, IMAP, Exchange. I mean, they're doing it, you know, they include it, the separate email app. I mean, if you can put it all into one app, it makes a lot more sense to me. I don't see how it would be dangerous, especially, I mean, even if they didn't include one, it wouldn't be dangerous. You go to Play Store and you download your favorite email app.
I'm just glad they updated the AOSP email app, and hopefully it will be updated again in Lollipop. That way, other companies have something good to start with.
And we saw the new messaging app teased.
Yeah.
Which, okay, I mean, cool. It's a new messaging app.
it's just new colors in the same damn messaging app. I don't see any big deal there.
Meanwhile, they're telling you stop using any other messaging app. Use Hangouts, please.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still using Hangouts, and actually, that has worked out pretty well. I'm surprised that it wasn't more painful than it was. I think once it settled and once we got used to it a little bit.
It still gets a little, you know, it's seamless on your end as far as switching between Google Voice and Hangouts and SMS. You can tell it gets a little confusing on the other end. So if everybody was just using Hangouts, you'd be fine. But it can get a little confusing, and you can accidentally start new threads without knowing you're starting new threads because it combines everything. And, you know, that's, I don't know how you ever get around that. You know, the person on the other end is using SMS.
You do what Apple did, and you break it for everybody.
No, you don't. Stop. Don't you ever say that again.
And that hasn't exactly been a 100% solution either, right?
Right. So,
even with breaking other things.
It's working pretty well. I do... try, you know, my wife has Hangouts on her computer at work, and she asked the other day if she finally needs to put it on her phone. I said, well, if you want to. But I do try to, you know, just SMS her instead of using proper Hangouts most of the time.
Well, it works a whole heck of a lot better than using the Google Voice app previously.
I SMS Jerry on his days off because I know he'll actually answer it.
You know, they come in a lot faster than they used to, too.
Oh, really?
I used to be one of those users that had a problem with getting messages several hours later than they were sent.
I could tell they're still a couple minutes behind sometimes.
But I can deal with a couple minutes. Usually it's just Phil harassing me anyway. It's not like it's something I have to run and do instantly. But no more hours delay, and that's a good thing.
Here's a question from Brain, who asks, do you think Android TV is going to be built into every TV in the future? I can absolutely say that yes, you're going to see it in some new TVs at CES this year. Google announced that to us this week. And, you know, not surprising. We've seen that for the past, 2 years now?
Right, and it's a whole heck of a lot better than the custom Android interfaces they were doing before. They were already running Android or Linux of some style on their smart TVs. You might as well, I mean, now they can just install this and they get it. You know, they don't have to design it themselves.
They have an application layer already pre-built for them. That's huge.
I tell you, so this is a Vizio TV back there, and it's a smart TV, and I generally hate smart TVs just on principle, and I tried the smart stuff in it when I first set it up. It's so horrible. It's so slow.
Processing power in there.
Yeah. Anything is better. Does the Droid Turbo camera have the Motorola camera features for multiple shots? Yes.
Yeah, and it has the highlights in the gallery and all that. Same apps.
Let's see. I'm still flipping through here. If you guys see anything, sing out.
Let me look through.
Tab wants to know, will the Google Play Edition devices, specifically the S4, will it be updated at the same time or near the Nexus devices? Probably not immediately, but usually pretty close, right?
They're a couple weeks behind.
They are... behind for good reason. That means that it's not going to take forever. They need to adjust a couple things, and then they get pushed out.
Does Nexus Qi charging magnetic mounting connection work with the Nexus 6? Negative. No Qi charging, right?
No, it has Qi charging. Does it?
The specs page says it does. I've heard
just that doesn't it have. You remember the new Nexus, the charger that's not a half of a sphere. It had magnets in it to align it.
You
He's asking. I'm sorry. That's a good question. I don't know. Let me just double check and make sure. I mean, we've had so many phones, I don't remember specs right now.
Well, the specs say that it does have Qi charging. Some people say it does, but I'm hearing a lot of people that have it say that it does not have wireless charging on it, and they want to know what's up.
Mm-hmm. I know that's one thing we didn't mention when we were talking about Droid Turbo versus Moto X. It has Qi charging on the back as well.
Yep, Qi charging. Cool.
Oh, it works.
In the specs, I don't memorize specs. That's the nice thing about having spec sheets.
Yep.
And the cool thing is that the Droid Turbo does with Qi charging, that I wish more phones did, is when you put it on the charger and it recognizes that there's something kind of there, it gives you an indication on the screen where the coil is to put it on the back of the charger.
Does it make zap noises?
Yes. Pew, 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 pew.
No, it does make kind of a little electronic noise, but...
I'm going down to the bottom. Let's see who's at the bottom. Oh, that's a horrible question. No, that's not a horrible question. What is the best release for the guess? What is the best guess for the release of the Moto Max? He's guessing it would be a Droid Turbo, but on AT&T. No idea. I know there's been talk of this GSM version, but look, there are all kinds of versions all the time.
I know Motorola is holding some events in Europe and South America. Yeah. Those would be probably smart to pay attention to.
But again, I mean, if and when, who knows?
Right.
I know AT&T likes to announce stuff when I'm usually on a plane on the way to Las Vegas for CES. So, Cedric has a good question. What do you guys think of the integration of Songza into Google Play Music? I personally find it a great way to discover new artists. Yeah, I
liked it for discovery, too.
I grew to love Songza despite the stupid name, and I love seeing it in Google Play Music.
I admit that it's a really great way to discover new music. Unfortunately, all that new music sucks.
I use it for, especially for jazz stuff. Just I like having it on in the background now.
I've used it a couple times now, and I found it to be better than just the regular I'm Feeling Lucky radio, which is kind of horrendous. Because if you have a wide range of genres of music that you listen to, you know, the I'm Feeling Lucky is just going to be,
yes,
a rat's nest of garbage. But this, you know, the songs and stuff, it lets you narrow it down by 3 or 4 levels before it kicks in the radio, which is good.
Lars has a good thought about storage space on tablets. A tablet is primarily for home use, hence it doesn't need as much memory because Wi-Fi streaming is easy from home.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's part of it, but you can turn that around and say anytime that you're out of the house, you don't have Wi-Fi, and so you want more storage.
Right.
But I think what he's saying is when you're out of the house, chances are your tablet's still at home.
Kevin says, keep in mind that with a 21-megapixel rear camera on the Droid Turbo, that quality is only for 4x3 photos. It drops down to 15.5 when going to 16.9. Yeah, and that's true on every phone.
It should. Well, yeah, that's for the M8, which is a 16x9 sensor.
Right. No, that's true on most everything.
But that's good because you shouldn't shoot 16x9 photos unless you're an animal.
I'm trying to remember to switch to 4x3. Trying to. I don't always remember.
3x2 is where it's at, you heathens.
And we see that from Phil sometimes with his if he doesn't crop his camera card.
What?
All mine are 3x2. I don't care if you like it. Fire me.
It looks beautiful on that Chromebook Pixel.
Yep.
George asked, does your Droid Turbo have a soft spot right between the Verizon and Droid logos on the back? Yes, it does, and I don't know why that matters.
All right, get out the screwdriver. We're going to find out.
It's obvious that it's just where the frame is on the bottom, because it's down at the bottom here. It's where the frame comes around the bottom, and there's probably the battery or the heat sink, you know, for the right there. And you can press in there. Man, you guys are super OCD.
Yeah, that metal frame on all the Moto X-style devices isn't solid inside. It's got all kind of cutouts and holes and all kind of other stuff in it.
Yeah, that reminds me of we had somebody tweet at us and say that we need to talk about the metal chamfers on the Note 4 scratching. And it's, you know...
Metal scratches.
Metal scratches. Here, I've got an M8 here that will prove that to you if I find the right corners.
I'll show you an M8.
Yeah, I mean, you know...
Where's that Thunderbolt?
I put it back in the drawer. But I mean, my M8 is all kinds of torn up.
Everybody, you know, they yelled at Samsung for having plastic, and then the minute they switch and put some metal on the edges, you complain because the metal scratches. You just
I'm a little concerned about how much metal is actually there. I think you and I talked about that a little bit. You pull the S Pen out, that band is 99.999% plastic with a tiny metal covering over it.
Yeah, there's no indication of how much metal is actually there.
That just feels, I feel kind of let down because I expected something like, what's that new S5, the little one with that's...
The A5, oh no, the Alpha.
Alpha, yes. That's what I expected the Note 4 to be, and that's just me complaining because I need something to complain about.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, it definitely already, that little bit definitely makes it feel nicer than the Note 3. We'll have to compare it more to the Note Edge. You know, we got a little bit of time to use the Note Edge, but we'll have to compare it more to the Note Edge because it doesn't have the metal, and we'll have to see how it feels in the same size and design, but some plastic, some metal.
I know everybody has a lot of questions. We got a lot of time, guys. Relax. Doesn't all have to be answered today. It won't all be answered today.
You're answering it all today. No. Jason has a very good point.
What's that?
Jason Lee says, if I do get a Nexus 6, I don't see myself needing my Nexus 7 any longer.
See, I get that. And maybe it might just be in my brain that to me one is a phone and one is a tablet.
That's just in your brain,
Phil. Does it mean it's wrong?
No, I need to send you my Z Ultra and make you use it for a month. That will go away.
I was at that launch event in Berlin, I think, and I remember that thing just being a monster.
It is a tablet with a phone dialer in it, and maybe Google is, you've got this Nexus 6. It's big, it's bold, it's beautiful. You don't need a Nexus 7 anymore. Yeah. You need bigger? Here's your Nexus 9.
Well, you know, I remember when Andrew Vaca reviewed the Galaxy Mega, and he said it was a bad phone, but a really great tablet. That was with a 6.3-inch display. You know, I mean, I understand that some people like that kind of convergence device, but I reserve my right to complain every minute about it.
Tab wants to know, is it true the Photos app will replace the Gallery? Yeah, I mean, Google replaced that last year.
That was last year with the Nexus.
Yeah. Line. So, and again, it's going to be up to the manufacturers as they continue to make phones and, you know, do they use some sort of AOSP Gallery? And honestly, I think I like Gallery apps more than I like the Photos app still.
Yeah, yep. I still, even you know, after I'm used to using the photo apps, I still turn on the Droid Turbo and use the Motorola Gallery as my default because it's just, you know, it has a little extra features and it's quick. You know, I my biggest issue with the Photos app is it's still kind of part of Google Plus and it's a little funky. It doesn't feel like it's a powerful Gallery app. And it's, you know, it's not clear kind of what's on the phone, what's in the cloud, how's it backing up, and, you know, I like a little more control.
The only time I use the Photos app is on my Note 3 because I've got so much in the cloud that the Samsung app just doesn't work.
Charles asks, does the Nexus 6 have any software tricks that help you with the size similar to the 6 Plus half screen trick or, you know, the Note 4 stuff?
I don't think so. We haven't really seen anything in Lollipop yet, right?
It's just a big phone, right?
I would be willing to bet that there are developer APIs, because I know there are, that will allow third-party apps to come in and let you resize those windows you're looking at will.
Well, how about
Break it down.
Actually, and that goes back into the thing we were talking about last week, right, Jerry? With the almost like responsive-y.
The new responsive design and how that may lead into multiple windows. I hate to call it responsive design.
Yeah.
But there are new APIs for developers to declare exactly how their screen looks and acts. It doesn't necessarily have to be the full size of the phone.
Then it can be all tiny, like on the Note
4. Sure thing. You may be able to install an app and shrink that thing down so your thumb can get to any of it, then tap a button and it goes right back.
Samsung's done it, and it works.
So I have bad news. I don't think I had that Moto X plugged in very well down there because it actually lost some charge. I think it was plugged in just well enough to say it was plugged in, but it didn't actually
charge. You know, I'll have to test the turbocharger on the Droid Turbo as well to see what it means. You know, they say 8 hours of use. You know, obviously it can't fill up as nearly as much as the Moto X.
I've used it. It absolutely works well. What I found, and I asked at Google the other day, and I don't think they really had the right people there to answer it, but I'm pretty sure, and if somebody out there knows and wants to correct me, by all means, please do, that the phone has to be turned on for the turbo part. That seemed a little odd to me.
That makes perfect sense to me from an engineering standpoint. There's probably active circuitry inside it.
And I believe the same things on the Note 4. Jerry and I talked about it a little bit.
I was just surprised it couldn't just lie dormant.
There's got to be something in your phone that tells the charger, ooh, you can go ahead and send the higher voltage.
Yeah.
Because the charger doesn't send the high voltage by default.
Right.
Because you can still plug it into your Thunderbolt, and it doesn't like all that extra charge from the Thunderbolt.
And I haven't torn one apart, but, you know, there's several ways that it can do that. It can, I hate to use the word communicate, but it can let the charger know it's safe to send, and safe is the key word here.
And it doesn't do it with just like pins like you would normally see.
No.
Something. Yeah.
There's something inside the phone that's either set off a switch or shorted or resistance or something back to a tiny circuit in the charger.
Oh, by the way, don't bother plugging them in airplanes. That just didn't work at all.
No.
I was like, am I going to bring the plane down if I plug in the turbocharger? I didn't ask. I just tried it. Didn't charge at
there's
all.
Already, well, there you are, already there's, basically get no charge.
I knew it wasn't going to.
There's a flotation device under your seat. You were fine.
Yeah, so they can find my body. No, I'm a much better flyer now. I'm fine. I'm just not going to use that again. All right, is that good? I think that's some good stuff for this week. We'll have more next week, I promise. Is that okay with you guys?
We're going to end with Ryan wants to know which non-Nexus, non-Google Play phone do you expect to get Android L first?
Oh, Moto X.
See, you stole my answer.
Well.
Well, I guess because that's the only logical answer.
Probably not.
Because it's the right answer.
Beside the Moto X, I'm going to say the M8, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could
go on record and say it, and people can hate me for it, and if you have the M8, you can love me for it, and then when I'm wrong, you can throw tomatoes or whatever, but I'm guessing the M8.
No, and that's, I mean, as of right now, HTC's official...
And the M7, probably.
Official line is, you know, within 180 days, or not 180 days, within 90 days, within 3 months of getting the code, and, you know, we should see the code probably Monday.
And you know why I'm saying that? Because the only GPE still left for sale is the M8, so they'll already have a really good handle on it. I cheated.
I think that's it. Now we're sticking a fork in it. Or should we stick Halloween candy in it? I don't know.
Stick a pitchfork in it.
Stick a pitchfork in it.
I bought a whole bunch of candy to give out and then put out a sign that said no trespassing, so I am set for tomorrow.
Because I keep forgetting, let me just look at the emails we got real quick. That one can wait. That one can wait. We will get to emails next week, I promise. So, somebody asked about the OK Google that appears in the middle of the Moto 360. I'm pretty sure it got bigger since that update, right? Was it just me?
Great, just what we needed.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a little smaller.
I think it's bigger. I think it used to be the same size and font as the word Moto.
Yeah. Oh, hey, by the way, speaking of Android Wear, I've got this to play with. The Sony Smartwatch 3. I finally saw the Asus Zen watch this week. It's nice. I like that a lot.
You and Richard both.
Richard is right. It looks really good. It looks really good.
Looks like a watch instead of a smartwatch.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully we'll have more on this next week if I get some time with it. I should.
Phil, you need to put all the smartwatches on one time.
I think I have them all set. Actually, I think my G-Watch still doesn't have a band on it because I had to cannibalize the watch pins.
Duct tape it to your wrist.
Yeah, that won't hurt. All right, well, if you want to, email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Google Plus and Twitter and all that good stuff. Just go search our names. We're also on Instagram. The site's on Instagram. Jerry's not on Instagram.
I'm not allowed on Instagram.
Oh, you and Chelsea Handler. Next week, what are we doing next week? Next week, I'm here. We are here. We got to figure out what we're doing in 2 weeks, Andrew, because we're 2 weeks out from the Samsung Developer Conference.
Jeez, is that really? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, actually, wait. No, we will be home on Friday, won't we? Because I'm getting home Friday morning. So
yes, I leave Thursday evening.
Yeah, we'll do some sort of podcast that week, so we're good there. Okay, well, everybody listening live, thank you. Everybody listening later, thank you guys, too. Hope everybody had a safe and productive Halloween. Please be careful out there with all the kids on the road, especially mine.
Put down your phone.
Put down your phone.
Turn off your Android Wear device.
Which you should do anyway. All right, that's it. We will see y'all next week.
Bye. Ooh.